98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
It's really simple. Maloney walks into the Auction Community Studios and declares, these are the stories that Doug and Wolf need to react to and you need to know about. Feel free to tweet us at DougAndWolf987 if you think one of our fast-moving opinions deserves to get torched or you want to stand on the table and support it. Maloney, go.
So the Arizona Cardinals still haven't gotten a win in the regular season, and one of the biggest takeaways from their loss to the Ravens was their red zone offense. And Cliff Kingsbury is pointing the finger at himself.
Our guys have executed well at times when they've had good plays to execute, and we got to do a better job as a staff and myself of putting them in a situation to be successful when we get down there. And you can't waste plays. In this league, you can't get to third and long at the 10-yard line. It's a tough out.
What do you guys think about Cliff's accountability?
I absolutely love it, and it makes me feel like this guy is going to be a good coach in the NFL, barring one thing. And I don't say this as a jerk. Don't be a fraud. If he's just saying this to delay criticism and push criticism aside, and he's going back into his office saying, we're going to go 10 personnel every time, and we're going to throw the ball from the 3-yard line, and everybody else is an idiot. There's no reason to run the ball. If he goes in that direction, then he's just squawking, and it doesn't matter.
I think he's totally sincere about this, and it jacks me up.
And I agree.
Really,
I think he is,
it
too.
It does, the self-evaluation, especially as it pertains to the red zone. Some of the things that he actually said yesterday, it encourages me like Kyler Murray encourages me.
Encourages you enough to make a prediction?
No, that's not
going to happen. I'll try anyway.
You know what? I'll make a prediction now.
Okay.
The Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray are winning the first game of their career Sunday.
Oh, wow.
All right. So 8:05 on Tuesday.
I believe.
Hey, Mel.
Yeah.
We don't want to affront the athletic process here.
It's affront.
Maloney.
Well, anyway, Kyler Murray has brought a ton of optimism to the Valley, and media all over is starting to buy in. Skip Bayless with the ultimate name drop.
Our man Nelly texted me, actually very early this morning, because he was still up while I was getting up. But he made a great point. He said he saw basically the future of the NFL yesterday with these two young players playing each other. Because he said once there's no more Brady and Breeze, that the next Super Bowl he was predicting could go to one of these two.
Oh, boy, I love that.
Now,
right,
wait.
There. It really is, because you got Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. That's who he's talking about, correct?
Yeah.
Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. What's so fascinating about this? Yes, you could say Kyler Murray is the future of football. Yes, you could say Lamar Jackson is the future of football. What's fascinating, two completely different philosophical and schematic offenses. Two completely different. One that is predicated and built on throwing the ball, the other one that is predicated and built on running the ball. Do you believe that's the future of football? Say yes.
I think it's very important here, though. If the future of whenever you say the future of anything, it normally means moving away from one thing and into something else. I totally disagree if anybody thinks Tom Brady is not the best way to run an offense of a brain that knows what you're trying to do, figures it out, gets the ball out, moves the ball down the field. However, it's about adding to it. If Kyler Murray does the things Tom Brady does and can run with the football, you've now exemplary improved the quarterback position that exponentially beyond anybody has ever seen. But if it's just about a new RG3, no, you will not last in the NFL, and you'll never last in the NFL.
I didn't even ask my question, guys.
Oh.
When Kyler Murray's career is all said and done, will a Super Bowl be on his resume?
Oh, please stop it. Just let the kid develop into a franchise quarterback, because he's not a franchise quarterback yet. Let him develop.
Kyler, this has nothing to do with you. You've asked for a prediction. I'm only going to say no because you got to put 21 other guys around him. And it's not easy to win a Super Bowl. Look how great. Drew Brees is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's only won one. And you never know when there's going to be another Roby Coleman event. You know, it's just too – what Tom Brady is doing is impossible. It's not normal. It doesn't happen. So it's too hard to say any quarterback will win a Super Bowl.
Hey, Kyler, look at the process. Forget about the result.
Kurt Warner's got only one Super Bowl victory. Dan Marino has zero Super Bowl victories.
Focus on the process.
Too hard.
So we've had a lot of quarterback news the last few days in the NFL. The latest, Daniel Jones has been named the Giants' starting QB, replacing Eli Manning. So with all these quarterback needs around the league, do you think Eli Manning will finish the season as a Giant?
He could be a Steeler.
Oh, man. Yes, I do. Yeah. I think this is it right here for Eli Manning. I think this is it. I think this is the swan song. I think this is goodbye. Goodbye, Big Apple. Goodbye, football. Goodbye, Eli Manning, for the most part.
I think Eli Manning will finish as a Giant, but this year. I think he will try to go somewhere else.
So the D-backs got their second win in just 9 games last night after beating the Marlins 7-5. How do you feel about this team's future? Are you guys optimistic?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
It's just off the charts optimistic. I really am. I mean, to sit here and think about what Mike Hazen has done, the fact that the Diamondbacks now have extended Mike Hazen, the fact he's not going anywhere, that just fills me with so much confidence that the freak show is going to continue to make this team competitive, make the moves, the necessary moves they need to do in order to be competitive. The fact that he's locked up and the fact that your farm system is actually one of the best in baseball right now, that fills me with encouragement.
I believe people improve. And so Carson Kelly's kind of fallen on his face at the end of the year. But he's look at his age. This is the first time he's ever gone through this. I think he's going to get better. I think either Christian Walker is going to get better offensively or Kevin Crone's going to get better defensively. I got nothing negative to say about second base Marte, Ahmed Escobar at third. That's set. Give me a center fielder or give me a great defensive and offensive second baseman, whatever I'm going to do with Cattell. Now I got Ginkle and Bradley in the bullpen. And I've got Alex Young, who I totally believe in, and a lot of what are the negatives going into 2020? The only negative is you don't have an ace, and I don't care what happened last night. Robbie Ray's had enough time to prove himself as an ace, and he hasn't done it.
So Mike Leach is college football gold. He had some thoughts on the state of California trying to pass legislation to pay college athletes.
Then are we going to have a draft? Then are we going to have trading? Then are we going to have free agency? I mean, how far does all this stuff go? So I think we ought to be careful with that. Or maybe we ought to just have minor league football and go ahead and have minor league football, and then those guys can do whatever they want, you know. But the state of California has trouble keeping their streets clean right now, so my thought is that they probably ought to focus on that.
Oh, my goodness, right there. You know what? I will say this, though, Coach. Have you seen Seattle? They're having some issues as well. That's in your state. Now, I know it's not Pullman.
Yeah.
All right, but
if there's anybody that's going to look down at Seattle, it's everybody in Pullman. And if there's anybody that's going to look down at Pullman, it's everybody in Seattle. There's no doubt about that. This is a big issue in California and a big issue in college football. But here's the problem with it. If you say, hey, they deserve to get paid, I'm not really going to argue, jump up and down when I see the exponential stuff that's being paid on 5 million staff members for one football team. College football is out of control. But having said that, don't forget, as soon as you say it's okay to pay someone's likeness, there's an Alabama car dealership in Birmingham that'll pay some kid $20,000 to endorse his dealership.
$20,000?
Yeah. And then while you turn around and in Ames, Iowa, this kid's going to get $50 and a hamburger. Okay? You think there's haves and have-nots now? You pass it, you'll never see anything like it before.
They are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. The fact they might leave after 2 or 3 years, that's their issue, right? The fact that you're looking at tuition right now, don't get me started. You know the way I feel about this. It's such an elitist mentality, isn't it? Generation E for elitist. I'm entitled to the... You're already getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's what your tuition is worth. That's what your room and board is worth. That's what your books are worth. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's money. Son of a truck driver here who couldn't ever afford any of that. You are getting paid. You're just not recognizing it as such. And that's because you're an elitist.
It's not 9 o'clock yet.
That's personal.
D-backs have done something for 2 years in a row, and it's not good. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Diamondbacks, a winner yesterday. Robbie Ray, no hitter going, only gave up one run. Bullpen comes in. Sorry to put it all on one kid, but Lopez just about blew the whole thing. But the Diamondbacks offense is able to come back and get a win. And Jake Lamb with quite a few RBIs. One of them hurt him.
The 0-1 pitch, and that hit Lamb. Third hit batter of the inning. A run comes in.
And the other one hurt the Marlins.
And the 0-1 pitch. Lamb swings, corks it down the right field line. That's a fair ball into the corner. Extra bases. Diamondbacks get the lead, two score. Here comes Escobar. Here's a throw to the plate off line. He scores. Now Lamb is hung up between second and third. The throw gets by. Lamb will hustle, get up. He'll head to third.
I love the phrase, and I admit growing up I had never heard it. But I love the phrase that you hear from Steve Berthume and Bob Brenly when they go snowball fight.
Yeah, right.
I love that
throwing
phrase.
The ball around.
When they start throwing the ball around, he said snowball fight, and that's what happened with the Marlins there. And then after the game, you could hear Torey Lovello didn't want to just talk about the big hit. He wanted to talk about the man that got it.
There was a lot of positives that I want to make sure I acknowledge, and one of them being Jake Lamb getting that big three-run double. It's that slug that we've been looking for once we've built some innings. And nobody's working harder than Jake Lamb to make good moments happen. So we know what type of year he's having. And it's been very frustrating. But to have him come through in that critical moment was a really good sign of all the hard work that he is putting in.
Man, really I just wanted to play that for ball, you for him. I don't think Jake Lamb's a major league third baseman anymore. And I would have traded him about a year ago. And I'm not trying, but I really want to be positive towards him as a man, because that's all I hear about him off the record. And then you hear Torey Lovello saying it on the record of this isn't a guy that's failing because he's not trying.
Yeah.
That he's doing everything he can to be there. And it's nice to see people that work hard succeed.
My question is this, Basin Onions. What kind of meltdown have we witnessed once again with the Arizona Diamondbacks here in September? And how do you get it fixed? This is two Septembers now, back-to-back, right, where we've seen this meltdown, and in particular, I would say offensively. Is this coincidence that they've melted down over the last two Septembers? Or is there something a little bit more nefarious here?
I would disagree with you, because I don't think they've had two meltdowns. I think the 2018 Arizona Diamondbacks should have won the division. That has a lot to do with the beginning of the season for the Dodgers falling on their face. I mean, if we're just going talent versus talent, 2018, of course the Dodgers are better. But the Dodgers played so poorly early that the Diamondbacks should not have fallen on their face in September. They should have won that division. I think last year was a divisional collapse by the Diamondbacks, a September collapse by the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
I don't think this year was a September collapse by the Diamondbacks. And the reason why I say that is because I think they just got a little hot. There's no team in baseball history that's proven to be more of a 500 team than the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Sure.
And therefore, all they did was just regress back to the mean of who they truly are, a 500 team. They're three games above 500, which all they did for 5 months was prove they are barely a 500 team.
Yeah, but for the most part, once again, I mean, the Diamondbacks actually went on a hot streak, as we all know, right? They collapsed now. What is their record in September right now? I don't have the schedule in front of me right now. What is their record? It's certainly, I think, worse than 500, you'd be able to say. So they haven't been even a 500 team in September. I don't know how you don't look at this September and say this was a collapse.
The reason why is just what I said. I don't think when you regress back to who you are, that means that you've really had a collapse. This is a 500 team, and there are now three games above 500. It's, to me, the exact same thing.
Well, you know what? I would disagree with you on that one right there. It's okay, though. Again, what's the problem? How do you fix it? Whether you want to believe this is a collapse or not, how do you fix it? That's the question. Is it a coincidence? Can you go into the offseason and just totally believe, yeah, you know what, it's a coincidence? The one thing you can say is certainly I would say the Diamondbacks offensively collapsed this year. Whether you want to call it a collapse or not in September, would you say they collapsed offensively in September? No doubt.
Record-wise, I did look it up for you. 7-8 so far this month.
All right. 7-8. Okay. So below 500, but near 500 nonetheless, right? But I would say at least offensively, we'd all say they collapsed, other than maybe a Ketel Marte, who's got four home runs, 14 RBIs in September, right? Eduardo Escobar's hitting 255. Christian Walker's hitting 152.
Oh, yeah.
One home run, two RBIs. I mean, Eduardo Escobar, think about it. Not last night, not counting last night. Four RBIs in September before last night. Four. Carson Kelly hitting 091. No RBIs, no home runs. Adam Jones, 143. Wilmer Flores, right? 273, but one home run, three RBIs. Gerard Dyson, 0-4-2. Nick Ahmed, hitting 222. One home run, five RBIs. I mean, we could at least look at this and say, offensively, this is a collapse.
It was over the weekend. Can't remember which day. But there was some weird insight Torrey Lovello dropped on us, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it because we were, you know, it will always be this way. It's the NFL. The NFL is huge, and therefore Monday's a big NFL day. But Torrey Lovello said, I want to make sure that we're not focused on finishing at a certain number. Don't hold on. He didn't give numbers, but what he was basically saying is don't do things because you're close to 300 and you want to be there, or make sure you don't drop below 250. Or he was talking about numbers. Don't play the game of you trying to make sure you hit a certain number. Just do what you need to do to keep the train moving. And what he always talks about, building innings. And the fact that he said that, I don't think you bring that up unless you think it's happening. Nobody just throws that stuff out there willy-nilly, especially not a guy as smart as Torrey Lovello. That was a really interesting point, because without saying it, and he'll say, no, wait, you're putting words in my mouth, but I don't think I am. I think what you're truly saying is, I want to make sure our guys didn't quit trying to win and started worrying about themselves. When you in baseball, it becomes pretty evident. If you hit the ball to the right side intentionally to move a guy from second to third, you've hurt your batting average. Mm-hmm. But you did it for the benefit of the team. When you are actually taking a pitch and saying, I want to drive this run in, and you pull an outside pitch, what do? You ground out to the left side, you're still out, and now that guy doesn't move. It's kind of an interesting point to see, why did Torrey Lovello feel the need to actually have to say that? Because does he believe he's actually seeing it right now? And if he is, there's the answer to your question, that there's not the leadership in the clubhouse to worry about team first. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast, brought to you this week by Kinetico. We used to say this as a joke. I don't think this is a joke. Breaking speculation. Not breaking news, but breaking speculation. We don't know why this just happened, but there's a big piece of news that affects Cardinals on Sunday. And it just happened. And it's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Maximum Football. Maximum Football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Every time the Max Starks intro is played and you hear the Bengals fans booing, I immediately think of the Cincinnati Bengals and the fact that they are 0-2. How are your Steelers doing, though?
They're in the same boat.
Oh, I see.
What's the worst thing a fan ever said to you?
Oh, boy. Oh,
I can't say that on the airwaves.
Trust me. I figured
this?
You knew
Let
that.
Me rephrase. Let me rephrase this.
I've had memes. I've had memes, too.
Max, let me rephrase this right here. Did you used to engage the fans on a regular basis? Would you do that? Would you speak to fans?
I would
because you know what the rule is, right? What's the rule? Ignore.
Ignore them.
Oh, just ignore them.
Put the blinders on.
That's exactly right.
Go into
right.
a silo.
Yes.
But I live downtown Pittsburgh, so, and I had to park in a garage and walk to my condo. So I had no choice. Like, literally, fans would stop in the middle of rush hour traffic to get out the car to either say something to me or shake my hand. You always worry when a car comes screeching to
imagine.
A halt, jumps out and runs up to you. You know, it's like
you were like a beacon. You were so big.
Exactly.
They knew
it's like left leg forward. Okay, this guy will go to one of two ways. Either I charge you or I charge in the opposite direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on what comes out of your pocket. Okay.
So, that's a great
not
fan.
Do it. I tried. Everyone told me, Wolf, just ignore him, just ignore him, just ignore him. I could not do it.
This is amazing. That's a scary and beautiful story all at the same time.
Right. And I had Twitter. So, I mean, Twitter was coming around. So people had Twitter muscles. You know, you'd have a guy who'd tweet the worst thing to you, but then would come up to you and want an autograph.
Creepy guys.
And so it's like, how about you not put your face on your actual Twitter page?
There you go.
That would be great if you're going to do that.
You guys got to know this. This is a huge deal as of now. We'll see if it remains a huge deal through the rest of the week. So we already have news that we know on the Cardinals schedule they will not be playing Ben Roethlisberger. It looks like they will not be playing Eli Manning because the only way they play Eli Manning is if he's still a Giant and Daniel Jones gets hurt or pulls a Nathan Peterman and throws five picks in seven passes or something.
Yeah.
And then we believe that they won't see Drew Brees this year. Because Drew Brees is scheduled right now to be out 6 weeks, and 6 weeks from now, they face the Cardinals. There's a new person on this list. You guys both can explain to listeners how huge today is in the NFL calendar world for coaches, not necessarily for players. And then tomorrow's a huge day at practice. Well, the right now, the Panthers are actually practicing on a Tuesday. And quarterback Cam Newton's status for Sunday is up in the air as he has aggravated a foot injury, according to Ian Rappaport. He's rehabbing while his teammates are on the field. Ron Rivera will talk about the issue later.
Wow.
So there's a chance there is no Cam Newton. And I think I'm right in mistaking that the Carolina Panthers would have to go all the way to somebody from West Virginia to be their quarterback.
I think Kyle Allen is Kyle.
Did he take over as the backup?
I think the backup right there. I think they have Will Greer
as third string,
the number three.
Okay, thanks for the update.
Yeah, Will's number three. Which I would say I loved Will. Will was a Gator, so
yeah.
And then of course he went to West Virginia.
Yes, we love Will as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You should. Yeah,
he did very well.
Please don't tell me
he
couldn't hack the academics of Florida and had to go.
No. Okay, it was a GNC issue.
I see.
Allegedly.
GNC.
But what I mean, how would you guys we clarified it
with a chance of suspensions.
We were funny. We clarified it as breaking speculation. Where do you guys clarify news on a Tuesday that Cam Newton is not practicing?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say, Doug Lisa? Yeah.
Max heard it.
Max and I had a little bit of a laugh.
Oh, I heard it.
That was good.
But Max was listening, so we can let Max answer and you can figure
Max,
it out.
Go ahead, bud.
I mean, when you come on Tuesdays, obviously this is officially the NFL's day off. And I think, is it worrisome that he's not practicing on a Tuesday? No, tell me Thursday, then I feel a lot better. You know, that he hasn't practiced either one of the Wednesday or Thursday, then I'm like, okay, now I can start drawing conclusions. Because this is Cam Newton. It's a foot issue, yes, but his arm wasn't affected, and he could still throw the football. He could still hand off to Christian McCaffrey. So, and they had a short week. It's tough, so it's going to be aggravated. So you want to give him a couple extra days off. He's not a young quarterback anymore, but it's not that huge. Now, if you said Luke Kuechly was out, I'd be really relieved. But, yeah, It's a non-starter right now.
You have to look at it from Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers' perspective, though, right here. Maybe they view this as a winnable game. Maybe they view this as a winnable game. And, man, Cam Newton, based on how poor he looked, how badly he looked in that last game, and if that foot is really causing him that kind of angst right there, maybe they better go ahead and get this guy healthy. It's last game with Cam Newton that makes me think that maybe there's a chance. Yeah, they're not going to start him in this game.
I don't see how either team, Cardinals or Carolina, doesn't look at the other team and say, this is a winnable game. I mean, the Cardinals haven't done enough offensively to give all these wonderful offensive awards that, you know, people wanted to say they were going to win this year. But they haven't been terrible either. And you look at Carolina and the throws Cam Newton is missing on, there's no way he's healthy. And I'm talking shoulder, let alone foot. Yeah. He is not even remotely the close to the same quarterback that he used to be. And I could easily see them saying, we need you to just take a seat for a little while and get yourself healthy. And they can say, okay, foot sprain, all they want. Plus, they've got their bye week isn't till week 7, but they've got a matchup at Houston and then a divisional game against Jacksonville. I could easily see them saying, we're going to be very cautious, and if that means he doesn't play this week, it means he doesn't play this
week. Absolutely.
Well, I think – here's the thing, but they're still not into – this is a conference game, and you're an NFC team. You need these wins because this is a common opponent that you potentially are going to have to play. So I think this game means more to me than a Houston matchup or even a Jacksonville matchup because they're both AFC and this is the NFC. And at the end of the day, you want to get into the playoff dance. You need to win NFC games and division games. So it's like, okay, how healthy is he come Thursday?
That's the question.
Yeah, right, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, so that's what it is.
That's what it is. How healthy are you by Thursday? Because this is, like you said, a winnable game in their eyes.
Yes.
We have a good enough defense that we feel that can compete. We just need to know, are you going to be the X factor or are you going to be the Y factor? And when I say Y factor, is why didn't we win? So I need to know by Thursday how you feel on that perspective. So that's why I say Tuesday, a couple extra days from a Thursday night game. And then let's see Wednesday and Thursday and evaluate.
Yeah, no doubt. I just think, again, the Carolina Panthers will look at the Arizona Cardinals and say, you know what, even if we were to start Kyle Allen, we have a good enough defense where we can compete. This is going to be a game where we're going to be able to compete, and maybe we can win it and rest Cam Newton in the process because that foot did not look good based on what we saw from Cam Newton the last time they played.
I realize that the Atlanta Falcons just beat Philadelphia, but as bad as they looked against the Vikings, that division's crazy right now. Drew Brees out for 6 weeks. Are you really going to buy BA and Tampa right now? And then you've got Carolina with Cam Newton either looking terrible on the field or injured. And after what I saw Atlanta and Minnesota, I'm not ready to jump up and down just because they beat Philadelphia, but that division just became a mess. That might be a division you kind of go into the season thinking two or three teams get into the playoffs, and now it's like, one, that's it.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. I thought preseason I had the Saints pegged and the Atlanta pegged to be really competing for that NFC South division, and I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, so Carolina still has a shot. Tampa Bay, even as bad as they look, they technically still have a shot. They're one game down.
Three picks.
Yeah. So the NFC South has gone south real quick.
And keep in mind, when I made my Cardinals prediction earlier in the day, we had no idea about Cam Newton. So that's I still get credit. Coming up next, Kyler Murray has brought optimism to the Valley. Does Max see it? Maximum Football continues next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me, Kyler Murray? Yeah, the mighty Ray Spect, the NFL. Ray Spect, throwing for over 300 yards in your first two games. Only Cam Newton is not that, Kyler. Yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is brought to you by AutoNation with 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find what you're looking for today.
The reason that they are having success on offense is because of that young man.
Wow. That's a Hall of Famer talking about Kyler Murray, Kurt on Kyler yesterday when we were talking Cardinals quarterbacks. And right now, we're sitting here in the Action Community Studios And we have the proud honor, as we do every week, of Maximum Football when Max Starks, Super Bowl winning offensive lineman, who just took a bow in the studio, is here to talk ball with us for an hour. And when you look back to, I don't remember which week it was of 2018, but week one and week two of Josh Rosen's life, which I think was like week four and five. It might have been weeks three and four, something like that, when he became the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals.
He came in week three, but then started four and five.
Okay. The difference of optimism in this city of Cliff and Kyler versus Wilkes and Rosen, it's deserved, but it's
night and day.
It is so. I don't have the vocabulary to describe how this city feels. We have listener only meetings, and people are going crazy saying, "No, it's everything's okay." I've never heard any city in America
with an
0-1-1 football team that is so positive. With your knowledge as an offensive lineman, do you see reasons why this is justified?
Well, they're a half a win above of what Josh Rosen did in his
two weeks. Okay.
But no, there's a lot of room for optimism because you see the confidence. You don't see kind of that blank, lost look back there at quarterback, which we had on more than one occasion with Josh Rosen. And you see a defense who is a lot better suited, as we see with Vance Joseph at the helm versus the Steve Wilkes 4-3. And they're also playing very competitive to keep guys in the game. My only one caveat, red zone scoring, and that's where the height comes in, and that's my only one concern.
I want you to go a little bit deeper on that right there, the red zone. What would you do? What are they missing in the red zone? Go a little bit deeper on that.
Well, they're missing.
I asked rhetorically.
Yeah, exactly. They're missing. Let's see, 3 inches of height at quarterback for vision purposes because you can't.
Not the first thing I think of.
No. The first thing they think of is
run the ball.
They need a fullback. But they need 13 personnel. That's what they need, and they need like true bruisers down there. You can't get into a 10 or 11 personnel on the 2 yard line and expect that it's going to be an explosive play. But I think the biggest thing is also if you're going to pass in those situations, you've got to get more creative with the passing. Mm. I mean, you have to have some type of play action with that rollout, and you need some cover crossers because
– And not a lot of play action works if no one believes you're really going to hand it off.
And so now I digress even further. You need to run the ball more in the middle of the field so that you actually have a threat to run. David Johnson does not look like a threat right now in the first 2 weeks. He's not running as hard as you think.
I would say the first week he did okay, right? I mean, he had 137 total yards in the first week and a touchdown.
The 40-yard pass that created a window, once again, wasn't in the red zone, and he was able to ID him. But when you get closer, you know how everything compresses on defense.
Sure, absolutely.
And so everything gets tighter, so you have to be able to zip on a rope, and he doesn't have those lanes and those windows to throw, so you need to create it some other way. And running the football sucks up a linebacker, gives you the shallow crosser behind him, or you get out on a rollout after faking a handoff because they've sucked up, and now you create a couple of windows on a couple of drags to the sideline.
So you have led into a conversation that Wolf and I have had a couple times, and that is we're not talking about David Johnson, the human being, one of the best human beings in the NFL.
Yeah.
But when we just talk about David Johnson, the running back, I don't think he runs as hard as he did pre-contract, pre-injuries. I'm not accusing him of taking the money and running. I don't know that. I'm not accusing him of being a wuss and being afraid of being injured. I don't know that. I'm just looking at how great I think he is and the fact that I don't think he's taking advantage of the same opportunities. And I would like to see him get more opportunities, but I don't think he runs as hard as he used to. Wolf is saying, hey, I don't know
he's
about that.
He's never been a physical guy.
Let's not
he's
go
never
there.
Been the I'm going to run you over type guy.
What say you, Max? What do you say?
No, he wants to outrun it. But I think also for David Johnson is a person who, as you involve him more and earlier, the harder he runs later.
Okay.
And he needs to feel like he's a part of this offense. I don't think he feels like he's really a real option in this offense. I think he feels like I'm the afternote. I'm the change up. I am, you know, I'm like the finger bowl when you're going to dinner. I'm the finger bowl right before the entree. got to wet the fingers after about three or four courses. He's the finger bowl. You know, some people drink the finger bowl because it's lemon water.
Oh,
but
please,
for the most part, yeah, exactly. You don't do that.
Don't do
but
it.
But some people do. But I think that that's where he fits, and that's why I see his running looks like that. Like I saw the burst when he was trying to get to the pylon in week one and got shoved out at the last second. But I didn't see it at all in this game. I saw a couple of bursts up the middle. And I think it's different. When you're running out of 10 versus 11 personnel, that's a big difference for a running back. Because you usually have that safety net of a tight end. The edge is a little bit tighter, so you can then make your one cut and come back. When you have five, and let's face it, it's like 4.5 on one side. You know, you have to make that decision a lot quicker, and you don't allow linebackers to develop the style that you like to set guys up for your line. Everything happens faster, and I think that's why you can see there's a definite difference. And I don't think it's contract. I don't think it's injury. I think it's feeling necessary. Feeling
I think the big takeaway
of this offense.
The big takeaway here is very simply for the rest of us in our measly little lives is the way football salaries have exploded because none of us go to Finger Bowl restaurants.
Yeah. That's okay. We've seen it in movies though. You've seen it in movies.
Tell me people don't actually drink that stuff. Stop it.
Okay, fine. How about this? It's like when you get the hot hand cloth and you start wiping your face with it instead of just your hands.
All that, yeah.
Yeah, that's
What's
another
wrong
one.
With that? Wiping your face.
You're wiping your face before you eat, really. Your hand.
What about on the airplane? You don't take the hot cloth. Oh,
what's amazing about this moment is.
What are you doing, Max?
For those of you that might not realize,
because I washed my face before I got on the airplane.
I've only seen this from Coach looking ahead.
So
you guys
good.
Are arguing about first class manners.
Yes,
the rest of us in Coach have seen the people up there.
Exactly.
But you guys are arguing
about first. You've seen it, so you know what we're talking about.
You must have a guest house the size of Wolf's guest house or something like that.
Yeah, right. Max has houses.
I see. Coming up next.
Hey, not anymore. I sold it finally.
Oh, hey,
thank
congratulations.
God.
Congratulations.
Oh,
some quarterback
Arizona
news that impacts the Cardinals in week 3. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.